welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Elias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Ollie, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Elias head coach Chris Henches.
Chris, let's just look back at the last 2 weeks, really, to come to dominate both those games, win the city championship by a pair of shutouts. Pretty good effort the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it has been really good. You know, something we focused on after the Rockbridge loss, and I think you always kind of regroup, do a little soul searching, look in the mirror and say, you know, what can we do better as coaches to get our kids playing better? Because we just didn't play that well at the end of that game. We didn't finish drives. We didn't get off the field on third down. And you know, just kind of a recommitment to some of the basic things, simplifying things a little bit, just playing harder, practicing harder. And, you know, our mantra the last couple of weeks is, you know, just keep working hard. Good things are going to happen. And I thought we had our best 2 weeks of practice back to back. And, you know, that manifested itself in some good football on Friday night. And we just want to keep that going. And obviously, bigger games, more important games are coming down the road. And you hit this week seven. It's a lull. A lot of coaches will tell you, you know, for a team that has postseason aspirations, it's kind of like the halfway point.
Yeah.
And it's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes to keep the kids motivated, even though they've worked so hard for what, and there's so many meaningful games, what they want to achieve. There's so many meaningful games coming up. It's still, it's like a mid-season.
I was going to say, you know, you played four really big games in a row, Camdenton, Rockbridge, Cap City, Jeff City. Yeah. Is it tough to stay focused for that long?
It can be. I mean, they're tough games, they're physical games, they're emotional games. All of them had those elements as a part of them. And not that we don't respect Sedalia. We do. Sedalia is a very good program. Coach Gray's doing really good things over there. It is a game that we have dominated since we've been playing that game in the new conference. But we have a lot of respect. This is the best Sedalia team that's going to be on the field. We have impressed that upon them. You know, we always tell them too. In a practice setting, we want to be up. We want to, as coaches, hold you back instead of having to push and push and push. It just seemed this week we had to push a little bit more than we wanted to. But the boys responded when we push and we demand. The boys will always usually respond and give us great effort. But that's something you always want coming from the team. You know, motivated team leadership, senior led. You know, they set the tone and tempo, not us as coaches always setting tone and tempo.
You know, they come in tonight 1-6, but you know, you look at their scores, they're playing a lot closer games than they normally do.
Yeah, and their game with Cap City last week, 21-14, it was a tie ball game late in the game. You know, I think they're a physical team. I think they're a team that can run the ball very well between the tackles. You know, we better buckle up and come ready to play.
All right, that was Elias head coach Chris Henches. Tom, easier than I would have thought last week. I mean, just in terms of the final score, 51-0. Obviously, a handy victory over Jeff City last week.
Yeah, it was, you know, with Jeff City having, you know, missing a handful of starters due to illness and things, it kind of looked like coming into the game that it was going to be a game Hawaii should and could dominate. And they did, really, you know, up 45-0 at halftime. And then, you know, second half got kids into a game against Jeff City.
Right.
Get that experience, get some time. And so they got something out of it. You know, and talking to Chris, the last 2 weeks, you know, they've won, 84-0 against Capital City and Jeff City.
Right.
Kind of, you know, he said those were two really, really important games that we wanted to kind of show who was the best in town and to win the city title, the Mayor's Cup, things like that. And they took care of business.
I guess it brings into the discussion about running clock in these games. I mean, how much can you actually get accomplished, I think, in some of these games? I feel like, yes, you do get these kids some snaps, and I do feel like that there are games that, yes, they deserve to go quickly. As a sports writer who saw a lot of blowouts, sometimes you just want the game to get over, but you almost just wonder, is it even being productive with the way the mercy rule is right now, where it's just like, it seems like things get so shortened that it's just almost like, well, is it any good for anybody at that point?
I can see that point. You know, but like, last Friday night, they didn't stop the clock in the fourth quarter, especially for anything.
Okay.
Even after scores, which they're supposed to, after penalties, are supposed to, didn't. Right. I mean, it was 12 minutes, boom, we were done.
Right.
Which, you know, I think both teams were kind of happy with. And I think you can do that if both teams agree to it. And they probably both did at that point. There was no sense not to.
Yeah.
You know, they played well. And yeah, I don't, the whole running clock thing, it's, you're not getting a whole lot of experience for your kids, but you're getting something out.
Sure.
Yeah. And you're really not embarrassing the other team.
Right.
So I think in a big world, it's a good thing. In micro doses, it's probably not the best thing for depth.
I guess the one thing that you mentioned is, you know, with that hefty scoring advantage the last 2 weeks, I think the big thing is the zero on the other side of the thing. Back-to-back shutouts is, I mean, that's huge against anybody on your schedule. To do it against your two city rivals, that's huge.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of that has to do with just, one, they're not giving up big plays anytime.
Right.
And they're playing just really strong fundamentally up front. You know, I think it says a lot about how good the defensive line, how good the linebackers are, that they're just not letting people break stuff on them.
Sure.
And so, you know, looking at that, you think that defense can really, defense can travel. Defense can
absolutely
can do its stuff in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of keeping it going for now.
Well, and the thing that I think that is the best thing about it is, you know, you talk about we're 7 games into the season now, and the most you've given up to anybody is 29. That's, I mean, you've got to be very pleased about that to get to this point in the season and be like, yeah, this is we know we're going to be in games because the defense just doesn't allow any game to get out of control.
Right. And, you know, I think there's a tough game ahead next week against Live for Life to wrap up the regular season, but, you know, we'll talk about that later because they have athletes.
Mm-hmm.
That could really kind of stretch the field on them and make it a little difficult. But, you know, fundamentally right now they're playing very, very well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you, when you go into a game knowing that you're not going to give up a lot of points, it kind of makes things a little easier for your offense.
Yeah. Hlias is now 6-1 overall, 5-1 in the CMAC. They'll close out the CMAC schedule tonight against Smith Cotton. It's a Smith Cotton that comes in at 1-6 overall, 1-5. Kind of a similar type record we've seen from Smith Cotton teams at this point in the season, but I think it's a different Smith Cotton level of play from the Smith Cotton teams than we've seen in the past.
I think it is too. You know, when I mentioned that to Chris and he agreed with me, he thought, you know, just looking at scores and things,
mm-hmm.
that they, you know, this is a better team. It's just not, you know, not necessarily showing up with wins, but you can see it on the scoreboard. You can see that they're playing better.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, obviously they're not world beaters yet, but they're getting better, and it's building a program. You know, you don't want to say they were starting from scratch, but really when the conference started, they kind of were.
Right.
They were getting thrown into the deep end against a lot of good football programs.
Yeah.
And they're getting better now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you need to look no further than just last week where I think, you know, they come out on the short end of a 21-14 decision to Cap City. But that's the thing where, you know, 3 weeks ago, where the way Cap City was rolling at that point and with where Smith Cotton's record at, you were thinking that was going to be a lopsided game. So obviously they're doing some things right if they're able to, you know, play a team the caliber of Cap City and keep that to be a one-score game.
Yeah, Chris said that defensively very solid up front. You know, they play a 3-3 front, which is Hlias has seen the last couple weeks. He said that they're really good. They do a good job defensively on the line of scrimmage. Do good, play good with linebackers. He said offensively, they're strong up front. They run the ball very well between the tackles. And the quarterback, Bo Gray, coach's kid, maybe the best dual threat quarterback they've seen this year.
Okay.
Has the ability to run and throw, and he's going to be a handful.
Yeah.
If you let him turn into a handful.
Tonight. Right, right. So I think it's I don't know, again, I don't think Hlias has ever going to be prone to letdowns. I think their coaching staff is too good to allow that. I think they won't let the kids get to that point. But I do feel like if there is a time to kind of exhale, this is the week where you go, okay, we're coming off the, you know, two city rivals. We were kind of in a kind of a gauntlet of games there for a while. Now this is the kind of regroup week before, like you say, we get ready for another good opponent next week and Live for Life. So I think it's one of those things where you go, I don't think we have to guard against overconfidence, but this is one of those games where you go, just come in and play, you know, our brand of football from the very start, and let's let it, you know, not get, you know, weird and be close after a quarter or two quarters.
I was going to ask Chris a handful of questions about that, and he brought it up before I could even get to it.
Sure.
He said, when you enter this week of the year, week 8, it always seems like you hit a lull.
Okay.
You know, when you're a team that has playoff aspirations like Elias does, you know, basically it's the middle of the year.
Right.
You know, because if you're looking to play 14, 15 games, this is the middle of the season.
Sure.
And it's just natural that at some point you're not going to have your best effort. And I said, well, and I asked him, I said, well, especially, you know, when you've gone through Camden, Rockbridge, you know, Capital City, Jeff City, that's four in a row that's been pretty tough.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, and that, you know, that doesn't help. And he said, but that's no excuse. You know, we still expect the best out of them in practice. And what they want out of the players in practice is to kind of lead the way and have good energy and not have to have the coaches push them in practice.
Okay.
He said this week, they've had to, coaches have had to probably push a little more in practice than they wanted. He said the scout team offense and defense have played really well and have given them good looks of what they expect to see out of Smith Cotton.
Okay.
But it's kind of the first and second teams that have, and understandably, he said it's more physical fatigue than mental fatigue. And he said it has nothing to do with Smith Cotton. He said they know they're good enough to come in here and play very well.
Right.
He wanted to make that clear. It's just that they've kind of hit that portion of the schedule like, okay, you know, the end isn't really in sight, but, you know, we've been through a lot the last few weeks and kind of a little tired.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to circle back to that point from the standpoint of, you know, I think it's everybody's hope that, yes, you have a 14, 15, however many game season you need to get to that point. Some years I hear a lot about that from Elias, where they're like, this is a team that is primed to make a deep run. I haven't heard much of that chatter this year. Is there a reason for that? Or is it just that this team is still building and they maybe don't know how good they can be at this point? Because some years you're just like, oh yeah, we're going to be playing deep into November. And then some years you're just like, oh, you know, we may get to districts and we may be done. I haven't heard kind of any kind of expectations for this team.
I think, you know, Chris, the expectations for the team, and I've said this repeatedly on you know, they wanted to win the CMAC, they want to win the city championship, they want to win districts.
Right.
Districts is the last thing.
Yeah.
After that, then it kind of starts over.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, they're not talking about, you know, they can't do anything in the playoffs until they win a district
title. Sure, sure.
So they don't really talk about it past week 12.
Right.
You know, one thing he said that Chris brought up was that, you know, now, again, I think we've talked about this too, they've clinched the district title with 2 weeks left. It would take some minor catastrophe for them not to win the district and have a bye in week 10, and he thinks that will be a great reset for them.
Yeah.
A kind of a chance to go, okay, here's a couple days off, guys, let's get refocused and get to where, we, you know, and then start thinking about what they want to do after that.
Right. So I guess one of the big things then at this point then is to go, okay, you know, to make a deep run, you're going to need everybody you've got on your roster. How is the injury situation looking and if this is a game where, yeah, maybe, you know, you are able to get out to an early lead and rest some people, how much rest is needed at this point? How's this team health looking at this point?
Well, I think, you know, you look back, you're on the running clock last week, gave them a half a game off.
Sure, yeah.
But injury-wise, Alex Marbury is, quote unquote, a game time decision.
Okay.
Tonight, but again, with an injury. He didn't play against Jeff City. I would be surprised if he plays. I'll say that.
Okay.
It's nothing serious. This is more maintenance and prevention than it is a severity of an injury.
Okay.
You know, because I think, as Chris said last week, we got bigger games down the road.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, he said everybody's pretty healthy. You know, a little bit of sickness going around, but he said it's nothing too bad.
Okay. Digging down a little bit more on Smith Cotton, is there anything or anybody that, you know, might pop up tonight that might, you know, be like, oh, uh-oh, watch out for this because this is suddenly a concern? Or do you think that, you know, they kind of, is Smith Cotton a known commodity to the Elias that they're like, okay, we know exactly what we need to do to be successful?
They've had success against them, you know, the 4 years they've been in the conference, and I think it's kind of, you know, they know what they need to take care of.
Okay.
And not to disparage Smith Cotton at all, but Elias obviously has a talent gap, a talent edge.
Yeah.
And I think if they just come out and play their game, they should do pretty well. And, you know, right now that's all they're trying to get through. You know, get through this game, get through week 9, and then get to week 10 when they would be off, and then get ready for a start of district.
Right. It is the first of two games to kind of close out the regular season at home after kind of being, quote, on the road, even though in town the last couple weeks. So that's got to be nice, too, is just to kind of get back to some familiar environs because it's not just the last 2 weeks, but, I mean, it was three out of the last 4 weeks on the road. So it's probably about time to be back home at Hinches Stadium.
It is. I'm getting my parking spot back. yeah, you know, it's always better to play at home. You know, they know the routine. You know, they everybody can. Yeah, football is a very routine.
Sure.
Don't get out of your routine sport.
Right, right.
And I think being at home just kind of helps, and they get everything drilled in, and everything's good. And it would be nice. You know, they in theory, right now, they shouldn't. Their next road game may not be until week 13. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of take advantage of what you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I guess I'll just ask you, who comes out with a victory tonight, and by what score?
I had the picks. I actually remember the score.
Okay.
I'm going to take Helias 48-7.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.